Hisham Tilawi. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I was listening to the last few minutes and the last hour where they were talking about flicking the lights and if it was a gang sign, et cetera, et cetera. As a matter of fact, it is, and I'm not going to spend much time, and I don't need anyone to call me and correct me on this, but I just thought I might add my 5 cents to this. It is in their initiation. Of course, I did not really listen until like the last couple of minutes, so I don't know what was said. But part of the initiation process into the gang is the new guy will drive his car at night without lights, and you know how it is. You know, it's courtesy for the other people coming from the other side to flick their light to let him know that, hey, turn your lights on. And supposedly part of his initiation is if someone flicks his lights on him, that he supposed to shoot him. But if it's a myth, it's a myth. But I think it did happen. I can't recall any the reason did happen, and that was what the crime was, that a gang member was in initiation status and he shot somebody. But anyhow, but it's not just a matter of flicking your lights. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Current Issues. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, of course, let me give the phone number out. Write it down. It is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Let's see what we're going to talk about today. A lot is happening out there. Of course, you know, you're tired of hearing about the bridge and in Minnesota. You know, it's unfortunate that with all the money we are spending on the war, and about a year ago, the engineers did say that, hey, look, this bridge is in need of immediate repair, but the money wasn't in the budget. The federal government said that we don't have the money in the budget, and so they did what they could. And as you know, the president flew over the site, and he met with some of the people there, some of the relatives and the families of those who were hurt. And he met with some of the rescuers, and he made a statement, a great statement, I might add. He said that this bridge, a lot of people depend on it to go back and forth to work. And it's like, wow, you know, the guy is really smart. He figured out that this bridge, a lot of people depend on it. It's like, yeah, that's why a lot of cars were on it at that time, and it's a very important bridge in the state and in that city. So, you know, I have to hand it to you, Mr. President. You are a smart guy for figuring that out, that a lot of people use this bridge. Anyhow, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will tackle other subjects. We'll talk about Saudi Arabia and what is going on there in Saudi Arabia. So just stay tuned until we get back. Unfortunately, we have a problem with the music, so I won't know when to stop and when to finish. So, but we're going to stop right now, and we will be right back. Okay, well, we're back, and we're trying to figure out a glitch in the computer, but we'll come back again to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You know, speaking about the bridge and speaking about how much money it would have taken to fix this bridge, the American Society of Civil Engineers said that we need about $60 billion to fix our deteriorating bridges. $60 billion. That will take care of every bridge in the country and put it back in a top shape. But unfortunately, we don't have the money, but somehow we are able to find trillions of dollars to spend on fireworks in Iraq. Trillions of dollars. It's going to cost, probably by the end of this year, it's going to be about $1.6 trillion to $2 trillion. Now, if you don't know what a trillion is, try to know what a billion is. A billion is 1,000 million, if you can add that much. And then 100 of those is a trillion. So you can see what a trillion is. That's a lot of money, and all we need is $60 billion to take care of all the problems we have. Probably somebody should have asked the president that yesterday when he was on the scene and asked him, can we divert some of that money that you're sending to Iraq? Because, as you know, he's always going back and forth to Congress asking for $60 billion here and $80 billion here. And for what? Where's that money going? Iraq, Baghdad, is without water. Baghdad has been without water for a long time. And the temperatures there range between 120 to 130 degrees, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine being in that type of environment, no electricity and no water. Water trickles about once a week to some neighborhoods in Baghdad. And so you can imagine, and a lot of cases of infectious diseases are coming up in Baghdad because there's no running water. People are drinking whatever water they can get their hands on. As you know, we do need water to survive. We can't survive without water. After 4 years in Iraq, and we still can't have water for the Iraqis in Baghdad. You know, I want to see these people who talk about how good we are doing in Baghdad. I want to see that. You know, how good are we doing? No water, no electricity in Baghdad. And that's supposed to be where the core of the American strength and American influence and American money, I might add. But, you know, we're spending all that money on these fake companies who are doing fake jobs in Iraq and billing you, the taxpayer, billions of dollars for it. We have about 130,000 mercenaries in there in Iraq, and these guys make about $10,000, $20,000 a month. And these people, this is why we have this is one of the reasons why people don't like us over there. Number one, we went there. They were in a hell of a lot better shape during the Saddam regime than what they are now. We got about 4 million Iraqis, refugees, in Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. These people are living on the streets because these countries cannot support these people. And the United Nations even does not have a program in place to take care of these refugees. So, and then we got things so screwed up over there, we don't know who to turn to. We don't know if it's the Shiites are our friends, of course not. We don't know if the Sunnis are our friends, and of course not, because we're the invaders. What do you expect these people to do? You know, we went in there, we took the Sunnis government of Saddam out, destroyed the country, destroyed the army, destroyed the police force, destroyed infrastructures. We kept the Ministry of Oil. That's the only one that we kept intact. But we basically destroyed the infrastructure there in Iraq. And then we set up the Shiite government. We started with Iyad Alawi and then Jafari and now Maliki. And we thought, you know what, Jafari had his loyalty with Iran, so we need to take him out and replace him with al-Maliki. That we thought, oh, this guy, he's going to get the job done. Of course, he's not. And the job is far from being done. As a matter of fact, things are going politically, on the political front. We're not talking about on the security front. We're not talking about on situations on the ground. We're talking about politically. The country is disintegrating. The Sunnis bloc in the government resigned last week, left the government, left the Maliki's government. And, of course, the Sadr group left the Maliki's government a couple of months ago. So basically we have an ineffective government in Iraq that we are supporting. Now, Muqtada Sadr, you have heard of him, and you've heard that we were trying to get him and destroy his militia because they are very much connected with Iran. They've been supplied by Iran with guns, training, military training, money, financial, whatever, political support they've been getting from Iran. So we said we need to go in and destroy these people and capture this guy, Muqtada Sadr. Well, what happened is the Maliki government, Muqtada received information from the Prime Minister, Maliki himself, that, hey, look, the Americans are about to come and get you and destroy your organization. So he went underground. And this came from the Saudis. They put out this information that, hey, look, this Maliki guy that you guys, you United States, saying that this is your guy, he's the prime minister, we can work with him, he's going to take care of things. Well, guess what? He told Muqtada Sadr about your plan to go in, capture him, and destroy his infrastructure, destroy his command and control. And, of course, the United States, at that time it was Khalil Zad, our ambassador there. He is our ambassador of the United Nations now. He met with the Saudi king and told him that, look, this information about Maliki that you guys are putting out, it's not correct. It's forgery. Well, the king showed him the document, and he told him where they got it from. And sure enough, it's legit document that shows that the prime minister of Iraq had told Muqtada Sadr that the Americans are about to come and get you. So the guy went underground, and he went to Iran for about 3 or 4 months. No one knew where Muqtada was until about a month ago when he went back to Iraq. And, of course, things were already out in the open, and the United States could not do anything. Now we come back to the Saudis. the Saudis now are in the news a lot. Of course, you have heard that the Saudis are about to purchase $20 billion worth of weapons from the United States. And they will pay for it. And I might add that the prices we give the Saudis are so much inflated, it's unbelievable. But, hey, the price of gas is high. The Saudis have a lot of money that they don't know what to do with. And they are buying our weapons. So, now the media has jumped on this because this, anytime the Saudis want to buy weapons, you will find people who will object to that because of Israeli concerns. Now, if you remember a while back during the Reagan administration, the Saudis wanted to buy those AWACS planes, those AWACS intelligence planes where you fly these things over countries and it will pick up all kind of signals and you will know it's an intelligence aircraft, that's what it is. And the Israelis threw a fit and their cronies here in the United States, senators, congressmen, etc., they jumped on the bandwagon and the Saudi Arabian deal almost did not go through. Until Reagan came up with the idea that, hey, we can sell you the planes, but we will have our own guys flying it. So the Israelis said, okay, it'll be all right if the Americans will be flying those AWACS airplanes. But now the story is a little bit different. The Israelis did not really say much about the $20 billion from Saudi Arabia that wanted to purchase these weapons. And, of course, the next day after this was announced that the Saudis will be buying $20 billion worth of weapons, the Israelis got $30 billion worth of weapons for the next 10 years from us for nothing, for free, period. So the Saudis buy $20 billion for the next 10 years. They committed to buying those weapons, and the Israelis get $30 billion for nothing. Now, how would the families of those people in Minnesota feel when they know that their hard-earned tax money is going to Israel free and clear, sending them weapons? $30 billion worth of weapons, and the federal government is telling them that we did not have time, we did not have money. Anyhow, we'll be back in a couple of seconds, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095. Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Current Issues. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a note that between 1990 and 2000, the United States military aid to Israel totaled over $18 billion. So within 10 years, between 1990 and 2000, we sent Israel $18 billion worth of weapons. And you might think, wait a minute, Israel is killing these unarmed Palestinian children. We have not seen Israel really go into war, except, of course, what they did last summer in Lebanon, where they practically destroyed the country and used millions of these cluster bombs. We've talked about cluster bombs in on other shows, but it's a big bomb that has a lot of bomblets in it. And a lot of these bombs inside, or bomblets, this is like a small bomb, when they reach the ground, they don't explode, and you have little kids playing in the neighborhoods finding these little toys, and it does look like a toy. And when they pick it up, play with it, it explodes, and you have a lot of people in Lebanon who died since the war, and a lot of children playing in the neighborhood who picked up these toys. But let's go back to the military aid to Israel. Between 1990 and 2000, we sent them $18 billion. Now, they always say we sold Israel military weapons and military equipment, but Israel never pays for it. But on the books, it says that Israel purchased so-and-so. You know, Israel is one of the largest weapons exporter in the world. And Israel had sold some of the military equipment and military technology that we practically gave them for nothing. And they sold it to people like China, who is one of our number one adversary right now in the world. And so what we have here is we are sending billions of dollars to Israel in military aid that they are turning around and selling it to somebody else, and you, the taxpayer, is paying the bill. And Minnesota, when they asked, when these people in Minnesota asked for this bridge to be repaired, the federal government said, we don't have that in the budget. Now, you can see that our priorities are not in the right place, because we are not getting, we're getting nothing from Israel and supporting Israel. It's not like it is to our advantage to support Israel. It is not that it is our national interest or in our national interest to support Israel. It is not. On the contrary, Israel is costing us not just money, but a lot of agony. A lot of hatred is coming towards us from throughout the world, not just the Arab world, not just the Muslim world, but throughout the world, a lot of people are seeing what is going on in the Middle East. They are seeing what Israel is doing. They're seeing how Israel is treating the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. They're seeing the prison that Israel is building around Palestinian cities and cutting off cities and neighborhoods from each other. They're seeing all that, but you're not seeing it here in the United States, because the media does not want you to see it, because the media is being influenced and controlled by those forces that are pro-Israel, and they don't want you to see. But the rest of the world, I guarantee you, even people in Europe, people in Asia, people throughout the world except the United States see exactly what is going on, and they see that the United States is helping Israel. And you wonder why they hate us. Now let's go back to Saudi Arabia. A lot of the insurgency, the foreign fighters in Iraq, are Saudis. These are people who did not really have a huge problem with the United States before we went in there and invaded Iraq. But these people understand why we invaded Iraq. We will pick this up after the break. It's extremely important that you understand what is going on, not from CNN and Fox, but right here, current issues. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let me take a moment to thank our producers at the studio who are working very hard to get this show out there to you and all the good shows that Republic Broadcasting Network broadcast on their network. And hopefully, you, the listener, the only supporter that they have. So hopefully, you will support the network to keep it running. The number is 800-313-9443 if you would like to weigh in on what we are talking about. Now, let's get back to Saudi Arabia and why Saudi Arabia is acting the way it is. And by the way, the Saudis have been helping the Sunni insurgency in Iraq as much as they can, because, you know, you really can't expect countries to take the American national interest over their own national interest. So now, Iraq was a stable country when Saddam was in power. So the Saudis were not really threatened in any way by the Saddam regime. As a matter of fact, they helped the Saddam regime with its war against Iran back in the 80s. But now the story is different. Now we went there, we destroyed Iraq, we gave Iraq to basically the Iranians, because the governments that we have been installing in Iraq is mainly Shiite government that are loyal to Iraq, to Iran. So the Saudis and other countries in the region are threatened, of course. They don't want an Iranian regime to take over Iraq and because it will definitely threaten their regimes, at least that's how they understand it. So they have been helping the Sunnis there. And then we came to a point, the United States military came to a point that, okay, we cannot defeat the Sunni insurgency, so we need to pay more attention to them and maybe start some dialogue going on with them, because they are very well equipped, very well financed, and by not directly by the Saudis, but a lot of money is coming from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar and a lot of these Arab countries for the insurgency. Now, these forces that are trying to put pressure on the Saudis by saying, look, you should not be buying these weapons from the United States. And the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, we are between a rock and a hard place, between Iraq and Saudi Arabia. And because there is no way on earth that we can destroy the Sunnis there, and we cannot destroy the Shiites there. And civil war, of course, has already started in Iraq, and the Saudis have no choice but to support the Sunnis in Iraq against the Shiites. That's the natural thing for the Saudis to do. And that's what the Saudis are basically doing. Now, that created a problem for the United States. Number one, the relationship between the Bush regime and the Saudis is an excellent relationship. It goes back not just political relationship, it's an economic relationship. These people are business partners. These people are business partners. So they cannot piss off the Saudis just because they want them to stop helping the insurgency. And this is why we have to work with the Saudis. Even though we know that, because, look, if we don't sell the Saudis these weapons, they're going to go and buy it somewhere else. They're going to go to the Russians, they're going to go to the Chinese, they're going to go and get weapons from these people. And that way we lost the Saudis. And so it's tricky. It's not easy, and we are in a big mess there in Iraq right now. And what happens? We get people like Barack Obama, who says that if he is president, he will go and invade Pakistan to get rid of Al-Qaeda. You know, when are they going to come out and tell us that there is no such a thing as Al-Qaeda? When are they going to come out and tell us that all these people that are against us now were created after we went and attacked Iraq and destroyed it for Israel? Because this is an Israeli plan from the get-go. This is an Israeli plan since the late 70s to remove Saddam Hussein from power, inflame the sectarian violence, break up the country into three, possibly four smaller states, and then watch the other Arab republic and sheikhdoms and kingdoms fall like dominoes. So in a way, even though we may think that we did not accomplish our objective in Iraq, but I guarantee you that the objective is accomplished 100%. This was not about oil, ladies and gentlemen, because we are paying twice as much as we were paying for oil before we invaded. Our dollar has suffered tremendously because of this war. This war that the only beneficiary of this war is Israel, not the United States, because we have suffered tremendously. you know, we don't even have enough people to recruit anymore for the army. We don't have enough people to recruit for the army. We have a guy who refused to go on a tour of duty because he already done five of them between Afghanistan and Iraq, and they wanted to send him back, and he said, look, I'm tired, I've done five of these tour of duties, and I'm not doing it. Not because of any political reasons. I still believe in the Constitution and that the president is the chief. Listen to him. He's the commander-in-chief. But I've done it five times. Go see somebody else. What the hell, am I the only one in this army? So he refused to go. And of course, he will be court-martialed for refusing to go. You know, we told you about Pat Tillman. As a matter of fact, we told our TV viewing audience when Pat Tillman was killed. We, a month after he was killed, we told our audience that he was not a Rambo. They made him to be a Rambo. He was killed as his surgeon, the surgeon who did the autopsy on Pat Tillman, said there were three bullets in his head from close range from an American weapon. We're not going to get too much into the Pat Tillman story, but just imagine what his family had to endure in the last couple of years because the United States Army decided to use Pat Tillman. The question is, why Pat Tillman died? Who killed Pat Tillman? Was Pat Tillman saying things that were politically incorrect? Did Pat Tillman change his mind about the war that he felt so much that he needed to leave his professional football career, end it, and go to fight for the country? Did he find something else over there that made him change his mind? Did he start talking to his comrades? And did the administration fear that Pat Tillman will be a very popular guy if he comes back to the States and starts and joins the anti-war crowd, such as Cindy Sheehan and others? That's a good question. When will they stop? Jessica Lynch, we told our viewers that this Hollywood scenario that they have done with the dark night time vision goggles, whatever you want to call them, and all this smoke and light, and the story about Jessica Lynch, that she fought until she ran out of ammo, and then she started using her knife. I mean, you all seen Jessica Lynch, and you've seen how much she can do with a knife. And we told our viewers that, hey, look, there was a problem. Her, the car she was riding with, it was an ambush, and the car rolled over. She had a couple of broken arms and legs and whatever, and she was taken to a hospital and treated very well. Even she was on a first-name basis with the nurses, and one of them she used to call Mom. That's how much she was treated. And when the Americans went into Baghdad, the Iraqis had retreated, the Iraqi army had retreated, and they told the Americans, look, the general manager for that hospital called the Americans who were across the bridge and told them, we have one of your female soldiers here, you can come and get her, or we'll bring her to you. At first they told them, bring her to us, and they put her in an ambulance, went across the bridge. The United States military fired on the ambulance, and the ambulance had to go back to the hospital, did not know what the heck was going on. And then all of a sudden, our Rambos went to the hospital with all their grenades and guns, and supposedly they rescued her when there was really no resistance at the hospital. But it was nice for Fox News to bring it out there so we can think we have female Rambo. You know, when Jessica Lynch came out, she told the story, and she did not tell the whole story, but she said, she did say, like, look, I'm not a hero. I'm not a Rambo. Now, to me, she is a hero for just going there and responding to the call of duty, even though the call of duty, I think sometimes we need to stop and listen and look to see if this call of duty is really a call of duty, or is it I'm fighting for somebody else. Definitely, I don't want to fight for somebody else. And definitely, you know, last week the Army called my house wanting to speak with my son, who is barely 17 years old, and wanting to explain to him his options. And I said, well, wait a minute. Don't you think you need to be talking to me first? And they said, well, yeah, we need to explain to him, and then the parents will be included in it. I said, look, when you have a different guy at the White House, then call me. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you and talk about the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, all of them. I will defend this country. I will die for this country, but I will not die for Israel, and I will not allow any of my children to die for Israel. We will protect this country, but you are not going to send my sons and daughters to fight Israel's war, to fight the neocons, the Zionists. It's not going to happen. Anyhow, the number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. If you would like to weigh in on the topic today. And we talked to you about shortwave radio last week, and I believe we almost, it's not as bad as we thought. If you remember, I told you that we're having a problem with shortwave radio. Now we need to try to generate some funds to stay on shortwave, and I was told that the only thing we need to raise is about $500 a month. So if any of you guys and girls out there would like to support our program, please by all means get hold of us, and whatever you can, $10, $15, $20, we need to raise about $500 a month. Also, if you know anyone that would like to sponsor the show, like any companies, or if you would like to advertise your products, your services, your message, we'll be more than happy to do it on this show. And so keep that in mind. The number is 800-313-9443. And if you need to send us an email, the email address is Tilawi, T-I-L-L-A-W-I, at currentissues.tv, as in television. Tilawi, T-I-L-L-A-W-I, at currentissues.tv. We'll be more than happy to hear from you, and we are asking for everyone's support out there. And again, the number is 800-313-9443. We welcome your phone calls and your comments. Just let me know that you are out there listening. And if you don't agree with me, just call me up and say, hey, you are way offline. You don't know what you're talking about. It won't be the first time that we get some people who don't agree with us, but I guarantee you that on the radio show and on the TV show, we strive to bring you the truth and nothing but the truth, because we don't have any strings attached with anyone except you, the listener, and the viewers on the TV show. We'll be back in the final segment, and don't forget, we have another hour to go, so stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5099. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? EvenStarForLife.com, EvenStarForLife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the final segment of the first hour, and we will spend the next couple of minutes on a different subject. In Florida, the first Hebrew public school opened. Yep, you heard it right. The first Hebrew public school was opened in Florida. And the cost, of course, to it's a charter school, but it's still public school. And it's free. You know, at a time when prayers in schools are not allowed, yet we have a public school open that will, a Hebrew public school, to teach Jewish kids Hebrew. And of course, it's open for other students. And a few people send their Christian students to these Hebrew schools because they wanted to teach their kids Hebrew. They wanted their kids to learn another language. It's like, where will they be using Hebrew? Are they going to be using it in Florida? I know there are a lot of Jewish people in Florida. I mean, I'm not against Hebrew, but I mean, that's like teaching people here in the United States. I know Spanish is about to be the first language if things continue the way they are here in this country. But to have a Hebrew school and public school, that is interesting. So the Jewish community has succeeded in America, actually, thanks to the principle of separation of church and state. But this does not seem like this is a separation of church and state. It seems like we are going at it from the back door here. And the first Hebrew school. So if you want to teach your kids Hebrew, move to Florida. They do have a public school there that will teach them. Going back to Iraq, people are in Iraq, and you see, there are a lot of stuff about Iraq that you don't know. You don't know that widows are asking people to please take our children because they can't even feed their children. They can't take care of them. And it's unbelievable that things would get that bad in Iraq. Well, we'll catch you at the top of the hour. We will be back in about 3 minutes. And we'll see you then with the second hour of Current Issues. See you then.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing.